Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and everybody that watches. We appreciate so much you tuning in. We hope that you listen for the duration of the program. It's our purpose to speak on the things in God's Word, and if any time you have a question or a comment, or maybe a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to study on the program, feel free to contact us. You can do so at the address given by the announcer, or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. We're looking at a study of the church that we read about in the New Testament. Let us understand that the church of our Lord is sufficient. You know, if the church of our Lord is sufficient to accomplish what the Lord intended for it to do, then it's competent, it's adequate, and there's no other organization or arrangement that's permitted, much less needed. Any effort that may be made by man to add or to improve upon the Lord's arrangement for the accomplishment of His purpose through His church indicates a dissatisfaction with God's way. The church is a divine plan that God has executed. The church is a tabernacle which the Lord has pitched and not man. We read that in Hebrews chapter 8 and in verses 1 through 5. God is the divine architect, and Christ is the builder. There's no other deviation from the divine pattern without condemnation. In 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, we read in verse 9, "For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So we see then that the church is the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose. When we look at Ephesians chapter 3, we notice this in verse 8, where it says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." We know that all of this was foretold by the prophets. We only have to go to Isaiah chapter 2, to Daniel chapter 2, to Joel chapter 2, to see the things that were foretold by the prophets. And we see the fulfillment of all of this in Acts chapter 2. We read of where John came to prepare the way for Christ in prophesied in Isaiah chapter 40, and we see John mentioned and the work that he did in Matthew chapter 3. And we see that the Lord began, after John prepared the way, to begin to preach the gospel of the kingdom. We know that Christ promised to build his church in Matthew 16 and verse 18, when he said, "Upon this rock, upon the confession that Peter had made that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church." So that's the foundation that no other can lay, the foundation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And we read for the first time in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 that people are being added to the church daily as they were being saved. So the church then is in existence. We know that the church was designed by divine wisdom for a divine purpose, so it must be sufficient to accomplish that purpose. You know, to deny the sufficiency of the church is to really impeach the wisdom of God in his divine plan and in the program that he designed for the church. Turn with me as we look at 1 Corinthians in the first chapter, beginning at verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, the things that are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are you in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. But according as it is written, he that glorifies, let him glory in the Lord. So we see then that in order to improve upon the divine arrangement, man would have to be wiser than God. And yet we know from Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, it's not in man that walks to direct his own steps. And as 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 19 teaches in verse 20 as well, that the wisest thing, that the greatest thing that man can do is but a small thing in comparison to God. So truly the church that's revealed by the Holy Spirit in God's perfect revelation must be sufficient. Divine revelation makes known all of God's will concerning man's redemption. All truth was revealed by the Holy Spirit to the apostles. We read about this in John chapter 14. Where we see in verse 26, the statement is made, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The whole context of John 14 is Jesus in company with the 12, those 12 apostles that he had chosen, and the promise of the Comforter teaching them all things and bringing all things to their remembrance was a promise that Jesus made to the apostles. So divine revelation, all truth, was revealed by the Holy Spirit to the apostles. And Peter tells us in 2 Peter, in the first chapter in verse 1, the first chapter in verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and to virtue. So see, all things that pertain unto life and godliness have been given unto us through this divine revelation of God's will, the New Testament. We know, as Paul made the statement in Romans, the first chapter, beginning there with verse 16, he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So God's righteousness is completely revealed through the gospel, the revelation of God's will. And it's also profitable for every need that we have. Look with me at 1 Timothy chapter 3 and begin reading at verse 14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly, but if I tarry long, that thou may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in the glory. So it's altogether profitable for every need that we have. So by the testimony of the Holy Spirit only can man know the mind of God. Notice this as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with verse 10. But God has revealed him unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. But what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So the testimony of the Holy Spirit is the only way that we can know the mind of God, and that has been revealed unto us in the New Testament. So what do we use the word perfection, or what do we use the word completeness? These are found in Christ and in his word. In Colossians chapter 2, notice the statement in verse 10, for we are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Friends, divine revelation sets forth God's ways. Remember Jesus said in Matthew 28 and verse 20, teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. And you know, Paul certified that the gospel that was preached by him was a revelation of the Lord, and he condemned man to perdition who would try to pervert that in any way. Notice what we find in Galatians chapter 1, beginning with verse 6. Paul said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that's called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of God. So the things of Paul were to be committed unto faithful men, who were to teach others, as 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2 teaches. And we're not to go beyond the things that are written, as we see in a number of passages, but one of them to call our attention to is 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure, transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above what is written, that no one of you be puffed up one for one against another. So truly, it's a perfect revelation, and a perfect revelation cannot set forth imperfect ways or an imperfect and insufficient institution. God's way revealed in God's word are sufficient to accomplish God's purposes. As we bring our study to a close, look with me at Romans chapter 11 as we begin reading with verse 33. O the depth of the riches of both the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of God, or who has been his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Friends, we see our time is gone. We appreciate so much your listening and hope that you'll tune in again tomorrow at the same time. Until then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and I'll return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.